So in my family, I am the cook. And let me just say this. It's not because Stephanie, my wife, in case you don't know her, is a bad cook. As a matter of fact, I have even named a sandwich that she makes after her, and we call it a Stephanie sandwich. And it is one of the best things. As a matter of fact, if you come over for dinner sometimes and you want to make a request, it's like, I want to try this Stephanie sandwich. I'm sure we can accommodate. But here's the thing. I just enjoy the art of cooking. I use recipes more like ideas than commands to follow, right? This has brought some great food ideas as a result. One time I made a chicken noodle soup and I was like, I wonder if we could bridge chicken noodle soup and ramen. And so I made a miso chicken noodle soup and it was delightful. It was great. And it's because I love the art of cooking. However, there are some areas of cooking that I do not participate in because they are more science than art. Baking is one of them. I'm sure, like most of you, I've had to learn the hard way that this is not my forte. You know, like when you are supposed to put a certain amount of sugar in there that is not sugar by accident, actually is salt. Change the recipe a little bit, right? When it comes to bread making, there is a precise recipe, even to the point where if you've ever watched the Great British Baking Show or the Bake Office, as it's told, you need to measure in grams to the gram if you really want good bread. Now, some of y'all are like, preach, brother. And listen, God bless you all because I'm not the guy, right? If you follow the recipe rightly, you can come together and make this beautiful loaf of bread. And it's gorgeous and it's full of flavor. The recipe for bread making is so important and needs to be followed. Because if you forget the yeast, what happens? The bread's flat. If you forget the flour, well, I don't even know if you got anything that's even remotely close to bread. And like me, if you add salt instead of sugar, well, just start over at that point. Throw the thing away. But what if I told you that Christian community is a lot like baking a loaf of bread? Just like this loaf of bread has ingredients, there are ingredients to a healthy, thriving community within Christ. Also, what if I told you that there are some ingredients that will take a great community and turn it to a harmful community that is no longer pleasing to God? It begs the question, Roland, what are the good ingredients for this community then? And what are the ingredients that we should avoid in that case? Well, I'm glad you asked, because today we're going to jump it back into our series called Strangers in a Familiar Land, a series where we read about the letter that Peter wrote to Asia Minor, where these people were experiencing persecution through insults and being ostracized and being almost made fun of on a regular basis. And today you're going to start seeing that theme begin to play out in this book. So as we open up this passage, I'm going to show you two things. First, we'll see the ingredients for a healthy community, and then we will see the ingredients for an unhealthy community. But before we get into it further, let's pray and we will dive right in. Father, thank you that we have an opportunity today to experience your word. Father, would you enlighten us on how to thrive in healthy community. God, would you help us to know that the call for us is to live in this grateful, thankful, wholesome community that is a light to the world, as well as life-giving to each other. So Lord, help us to know that in Jesus' name, amen. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open up to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And you can take a second to get there. I like if you've got physical Bibles, but if you don't, it's right up here. Physical Bibles are good for you, though. You need to still carry one every once in a while, okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 is, we begin seeing the end of an idea that Peter's been talking about for a long time. And so he begins talking about the ingredients for a healthy community. The ingredients for a healthy community. He says this, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, and be humble. Peter begins by saying, hey, finally, which should, in our minds as far as Bible study students, it should remind us that he's kind of wrapping up a thought that's been going on. He's been talking about the household code, and he's been talking to slaves, he's been talking to wives, he's been talking to husbands, and now he's going to broaden the audience again. How far does he broaden it? He says, all of you. So who is this for? All the believers he's writing to. And he gives them five commands, and what I would argue, five ingredients to a healthy community. And so the first one he begins with is be like-minded. This word in the Greek, like-minded, only shows up once in all the New Testament. And you'll actually see this is going to be a trend that we run into. Essentially, what Peter is asking his readers to do is to be united in heart and mind, in living out their faith in a world that rejects them. To be like-minded is to be thinking and acting in accordance to the life of Christ. And here's what it doesn't mean, real quickly. It doesn't mean uniformity, right? Because a lot of times, just like in a loaf of bread, you can have bread show up in a lot of different forms. You see, bread, if you change the flour, you know, like-mindedness is a lot like the flour of bread. You see, you can change the flour, you can change and make it all-purpose. You can have spelt flour, you can have wheat flour, and then for those of you who are of the gluten intolerant, I don't know what flours you use, but somehow y'all still get bread. I don't understand it, but it's there, right? And God bless you for doing that, because otherwise you wouldn't have bread. So God bless you, right? But here's the reality. Like-mindedness is like the flour of bread in the community of Christians. Because while we are of different flavors of life, we have different ideas about different things. The one thing we should be like-minded on, and this is why I love our freeway approach here at Connection Point Church, is that we can, there's multiple lanes for some issues, but we need to be like-minded on the issues that are one-lane issues, like who Jesus is, what is our mission, the things that are one-lane issues, those are the kinds of things that we need to be like-minded on. If God's called us to love people, you might love people by cooking them some bread, but you might love people by encouraging them, right? But the goal is within Christian community is for us to be like-minded together. That's the first ingredient to a healthy community. The second ingredient he brings up is sympathetic. Be sympathetic. This is another unique word, but it's very familiar to us because sympathy is a value that in our context, we value sympathy. And in some of your Bibles, you might have read this as understanding. We need to be understanding of one another. Peter is calling this body of believers to care deeply for the needs of others, and including the joys and the sorrows that each person has. You see, if we're in a Christian community and we don't care about the needs of others, or we don't have we don't celebrate like we did with Ian this week on Friday, and if we never celebrate together, or we don't cry when somebody's going through things, like we've been praying for Jamie and her husband Ron, that he would come to know the Lord, and we cry together and we want to see God do something great there. These are the kinds of things that where we practice sympathy. And sympathy, if we're taking this loaf of bread and we're thinking, well, what ingredient would sympathy be like? It'd be like the sugar that is in a bread. It brings the sweetness to community, not too much, because somebody like, and we're called to give a lot of sympathy, but overindulging on sugar is a bad thing, right? Because sometimes in a community, while we give sympathy, sometimes we need to take time to speak truth as well. So it's not overly sympathetic, but sympathetic like Jesus would be sympathetic, which gives us a broad spectrum, right? Sugar is the sweetness that is in the bread, and it actually plays a vital function for other parts of the bread as well. But ultimately, Peter's calling us to be sympathetic with one another. Next, he calls us to what brotherly love. Brotherly love is the third ingredient to a healthy community. Now, brotherly love, you're familiar with this word in Greek. I bet you didn't know Greek. Because when you think of Philadelphia, what do you think of? City of brotherly love. The Greek word for Philadelphia is brotherly love, right? And so, unfortunately, their football team doesn't always demonstrate that. I love you, Brent. I'm sorry. But, right? The ingredient, this is an ingredient I want us to take some little extra time to pay special attention to. Peter calls them to a specific kind of love within Christian community, and that is a family love. It's not a love that is a romantic love where it just you get the butterflies in your stomach and you're like, oh, I've been falling in love. Right? That's not what we're talking about. The kind of love that we're talking about is a love that is a choice. It is a choice to love and engage with those around us. And here's the thing, for Peter's context, this was so necessary because their choice of choosing Christ would have likely ostracized them from their true family. It would have cost them greatly to follow Jesus. And so if they went to a community where there was no brotherly love, they would be lacking in all shapes and sizes. There would be a lack. You see, brotherly love's like yeast in bread. Yeast is these microorganisms that feed on sugar. And what yeast does is it lifts up the bread and also strengthens the bread. Did you catch that? If love is like the yeast in bread, what is love supposed to do? It's supposed to build up and strengthen one another. If you can look, and I want you to be thinking about this, because anytime you see a piece of bread, you can be thinking about this idea of, man, I'm called to brotherly love. I'm called to be like-minded. I'm called to be sympathetic. And this yeast plays an important role, because if there's no yeast, what happens to bread? It's just flat, my man. Yeah. It's just flat. If there's no love in a community, it is a flat kind of community. There's no lifting each other up. If there's no yeast in this bread, a lot of times it's brittle and it's broken and it doesn't quite live up to the standards of a good fluffy loaf of bread that even to tear it apart takes a little bit of effort. And then you open it up and you see the pockets of air, you see the rising, you see the strength that the yeast has provided has made this piece of bread something that can endure even the hardships of being ripped apart, that it can endure the things that are hard in life because love, or yeast in this case, has infused the bread. And so brotherly love is a central piece to this reality. Second, we got two more. We have compassion. Now, compassion and sympathy are very, very closely related. They are actually, even their Greek origins are very close. So it's very similar to sympathy in that this word compassion is this feeling in your gut about somebody else. It's actually, it's funny, I was doing some research on this. Before we turned the heart into the place where emotions come from, the Greek world thought of the stomach as the place where emotions come from. And this idea of compassion is this rumbling up in your gut for love and truth and care for those around you. And let me tell you, I've seen that demonstrated more times than not right here in CPC. You church are a church that demonstrates compassion for one another. And we're not always going to be perfect at it, but we excel in compassionate love for one another. It's one of the things that I love about CPC. So this compassion is not just love, it's love in action. It's not just, oh, I feel really differently about this. I feel like I should do something. If you don't do something, you are not practicing compassion. Compassion is love in action. Okay? So that's the fourth ingredient. The final ingredient is humility. This ingredient, humility, is important because this was looked down upon in the Greek and Roman world. You see, humility was something that if you were somebody that was humble, that was an insult. That was, oh, you're not part of the elite. You're not part of, you are of the lower class. But see, what Peter's doing is he's taking the upside down nature of community, flipping it on its head and saying, humility should be honored, not belittled. So much so, he commands this. And note this, these are all commands. These are not suggestions for us to practice in community. These are things that we've actively participate in. And so this idea of humility is loving other people well enough that you put their needs above your own. And it doesn't mean you completely negate yourself. That's not it. It's just thinking of yourself less. And honoring God with your life by serving other people. And so it should remind us and take us back to 1 Peter chapter 2, where you see Jesus demonstrating this kind of humility, where even when he was insulted, and we'll talk about this here in a second, even when he was insulted, his humility was the thing that showed up because he didn't retaliate. He didn't do those things. He actually was humble in those points. So here's what I want you to see. These five ingredients are ingredients to a healthy community. Let me ask you, where are you lacking? Is there a place where you feel like, you know what? Maybe I'm not really good at brotherly love. You know, kids, if you're a kid in here, raise your hand real quick. Some of y'all adults probably should raise your hand too, because like, I love that. Sometimes kids, it's really hard to love your siblings, isn't it? Sometimes it's really hard to care for the needs of your siblings, right, kids? But do you love your brother and sister regardless? Yes. If you don't have brothers and sisters, do you love your mom and dad like that? Right? Kids, This word is also for you, that you can be like-minded with adults, that you can be sympathetic like adults, but do it in your own kid way. It's okay. If you're here as an adult, if there's an area where you struggle, God wants to not just leave you in the struggle. Here's what you should do. Go to God and say, God, I want to grow in humility. Ask him to give you opportunities to grow. And then get around other people in your community that demonstrate the quality that you lack, so that you can learn and be discipled from their example. And ultimately, we should look back to Jesus as the main example for all of this. So these are the five ingredients for a healthy community. But what are those unhealthy ingredients? And so let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 through 12. And we're going to see here the ingredients of an unhealthy community. Ingredients of an unhealthy community. So take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. It says this: Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because this is you, to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So Peter begins by letting believers in Asia Minor know that there are some ingredients that can harm a healthy community. And the thing he begins with is saying, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. You see, this was a community that recognized, that understood this really, really well, because they were being barraged with a number of insults, a number of accusations, a number of things. We've talked about them in previous sermons, so go back and listen to some of those. But they were, like, even just breaking bread for the Lord's Prayer, people would call them cannibals because they believed that this was the true body of God. I mean, think of those kind of heinous things. But what's our natural sinful inclination? You said this, I'm going to say this. And we're going to give an insult for that insult. You know, it's funny because a lot of times what we find ourselves doing is we may not give that insult back to that person, but we can come back to our communities, and we call this venting sometimes. We can come back and insult somebody when they're not around in a Christian community. And here's the thing. God's not okay with that. That's like replacing yeast with sand in your bread. Right? Sand in your bread is not going to be delightful. It's just going to break your teeth. It's not a healthy piece of bread at that point. It is just full of rocks. And what kind of community do we want to be? One that when people participate in it, other people are hurt in it? Or a kind of community that is experiencing life and joy and health? I would argue for the second. That's the kind of community we want us to be. Amen. Number two, that's what I'm talking about, man. And that's it. We want to be a part of this community where we're not repaying insult with insult. As a matter of fact, how many of you have ever heard of something called a diss track? Anybody ever heard of a diss track before? Now, if you haven't, that is A-okay. I'm going to educate you on some hip-hop culture, okay? So within hip-hop culture, there is a sport nature to it. And a lot of times what will happen is to assert that they are the best, a rapper will put out a diss track where they make fun of another rapper and they will bring them down through these insults. Now, within this culture, it's accepted because it's for sport, it's for fun, but it's not. In the hip-hop culture, we've seen people die over diss tracks. And it's because they've chosen to pay evil for evil, insult for insult. And here's what I want you to know. Even now, just as recently as the last couple weeks, the top three hip-hop artists of the era right now were throwing out diss tracks with one another. And one of the craziest things happened. There was one guy who decided to diss another rapper. But then, just after he put out that track, he went out on concert on a stage and publicly apologized for putting this diss track out. He's like, this is not me. This is not what I want to do. This is not the style I want to live in. And here's what I want you to know. The world beat him up for it. He said he will never be awesome. He will never be good. But here's the kind of thing. Within a Christian culture, the kind of thing that we can operate on is if we do practice insult for insult, one of the best ways to make it right is to come and apologize and make right. Right? We don't want to repay evil for evil because God's given us a better way. What is that better way? Check it out. He says, instead of repaying evil for evil, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. You see, this word blessing is really important because this word blessing is pronouncing good over somebody else. Now think about that. Think about that for a second. Slow down and think. What would our culture within our communities look like if we heard an insult and we repaid an insult with a blessing? Think about that. What would our community look like if we decided to take this command seriously? And I believe, CPC, that we are trying to take this command seriously. I believe that this church wants to be that kind of church. But the thing is, sometimes we can get weak and start saying things that we are hurtful about somebody else. And here's the thing, that's not blessing, that's curse. We don't want that. We've been blessed by God. We've been blessed by God. And when Jesus experienced insults, what did he do? He didn't say anything. As a matter of fact, he went and died on a cross so that those people might have access to eternal life. You see, unhealthy ingredients within a community is retribution and revenge. Those are two ingredients that will break a healthy community on a regular basis. But then he gives some commentary using Psalm 34. This was so interesting to me. He says this, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now, for the sake of time, I can't break all this down, okay? But I would encourage you, this is directly quoted from Psalm 34. This is a beautiful psalm, and Peter uses this as, he uses Psalm 34 throughout 1 Peter as a means of saying, how do you live in healthy community? He refers to it multiple times, just like he refers to Isaiah 53 when he's talking about what should we know about Christ. And so he's using the Old Testament, the Bible that he had, to bring about the good of what we are getting now. So he begins this, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech." This idea of the good life, so to speak, is both now and the not yet. If you want to experience the good life now, this psalm tells you that you should keep your lips from evil and deceit. If you want to experience the unhealthy ramifications of revenge and retribution, then give evil for evil. But the good life, according to Peter here, he's telling us if we want to experience the good life today, we begin with changing the way that we talk. By not insulting other people, not lying with our mouths, not seeking to do evil. We are seeking to do good and bless other people. And this is how we give good life to each other in our communities, as well as to the world. And guess what? It's also the means by which we receive a blessing in the life to come. There's reward waiting for those of you who do good and do not speak evil and do not do these harmful things to each other, because in community, that just hurts. As well as if we can speak to a world outside of us, blessing rather than cursing, we will experience their change of life, which brings reward in that we have more people going to heaven as well. This is why we speak well of others. Then he goes on to say, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. There is an opposite. If you know that there's something where, like, man, I'm practicing evil within community. I'm trying to seek out revenge. I'm trying to gossip. I'm trying to hurt other people's feelings, whether it's in my class in elementary school or whether it's in a group where you're getting together with adults, no matter the age or stage, your words matter. Kids, listen to me. If you're a kid here, lying is something that God does not honor. God looks at that and is like, hey, man, I wish you would do something different. I've got a better way to live. If somebody is bullying you and you try to bully them back, there's a better way, kids. Adults, I could give you the very same illustration, and there's a better way. Turn from the evil that you've done. Turn from the things. And let me just say this, adults specifically, we will see this come out more and more as the political season ramps up, folks. Yeah. We cannot be people that are participating in the insult for insult world within the political sphere. We choose love. We choose blessing. This is the place that we do this, and we do this in a healthy community so that the other people around us can practice the very same thing. Yes, we may disagree with them. Yes, we may disagree with a different political point of view, but here's what we will not do. We will not participate in evil for evil. We will turn from our evil ways and we'll do good in this political season. Amen? And I believe that that's who we are, CPC. That's the kind of character that we have, CPC. And so what we must do is seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace, not only seeking peace, but this word pursue is literally like running after it. Go after peace. Because words wage war. And words also bring peace. And within a healthy community, especially with believers and believers, we need to quickly pursue peace. We can't sit alongside and be disgruntled in our souls. We need to seek peace and pursue it. Why does Peter say this? Take a look at this next section. This was so heavy on me, church. This was so heavy on me this week. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Folks, this is a heavy word. Because it's almost like, it sounds a lot like, husbands, the charge that you receive from Peter is that the way you treat your wife will directly correspond with how your prayers are being heard by God. Here's what this verse is saying. His ear is attentive to those who pursue peace, who pursue blessing rather than cursing. In a world that's hurling insult at us, if we become like the world, that's exactly what we're participating in. We're shooting baskets for the wrong team, folks. Our job is to seek peace and pursue it because we want God to be listening to our prayers because we're walking in a way that is worthy of his calling. We want to be that kind of church. We want to be those kinds of people. So if we understand that revenge and retribution are the unhealthy characteristics of a community, how do we avoid those? How do we avoid them? One, when we see bad ingredients, we make sure they don't get into the bread. When we see bad ingredients, we make sure they don't get into the bread. When we see somebody trying to put poison in this bread, we make sure that the poison doesn't get into the bread. When we see somebody trying to put sand instead of the flavor that comes from goodness of flour, we've got to be the people that say, no, we will not participate in that. And so what does that look like, church? Sometimes we have to step in between and say, hey, what you said was hurtful and wrong, and I want to seek reconciliation. Or if they're coming to you for gossip, here's what we say. Hey, if you've got a problem with that person, let's go talk to that person together. Rather than hearing evil, because if we're hearing evil, we're allowing the sand to go into the bread. We're allowing for the nastiness of unhealthy community to be a part of community. We have to quit that right away. So kids, if you're here today and you hear somebody saying something mean about somebody else, we need to be quick to say, hey, that's not right. And kids, we can be the kind of people, do you know that you can be Christ-like today by just simply being kind with the words that you have and blessing people who insult you? You want to really, and this can be petty, so I got to be careful. If you want to love somebody well, when they insult you, tell them you love them. When they hurt your feelings, tell them, I so care about you, and I'm sure you didn't mean that. Hey, Jesus loves you and has a great plan for your life. This is how we can avoid the unhealthy ingredients of community from getting into the goodness of our healthy community. So if you're hearing talk, and this is specifically towards speech, keep it away. And then when you see like-mindedness, and you see sympathy, and you see love, and you see compassion, and you see the humility in community, celebrate that in your communities. If you don't say something well about other people that are practicing these things, their reward's going to be in heaven for sure. But we need to make sure that we let people know, and just like we did with Ian this last Friday, give them their flowers while they're around so they get to hear how much they've walked in like-mindedness, how much they've walked in humility. And this is the kind of church where we bring together people that bring together the healthy ingredients of a community. So, there's five ingredients to a healthy community. Practice those. Find out if those are the place, if there's any place where you need to grow, and then don't let the unhealthy ingredients get into the bread. Amen? Let's pray. And worship team, you can come up as well. Father, we thank you that you are a God that gives us the ingredients that we need for life and godliness. So Father, I just pray that we could walk in a manner worthy of our calling, that we would walk not in evil, but we would walk in the goodness of life. And Father, would you help us to be people that focus on the good ingredients of healthy community and help push aside the ingredients that are unhealthy. In Jesus' name, amen.